With all that being said, it is time to bring in Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. Of course, you can find them at Treasure Quest Appraisal Group, TQAG.com, or right here on a Tuesday morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are we both in the same place this morning?
Yes, we are.
Yay!
Wonder of wonders.
Yes.
You know, sooner or later, you guys are going to have to buy an Airstream trailer.
No, a Gulfstream.
A Gulfstream, there you go. All right. Is it nice weather down there this morning?
Oh, beautiful. It's beautiful. We've had really good weather. It's postcard perfect down here this past week.
Well, it's gray up here. It's gray. And there was actually ice. Yesterday morning, there was actually ice. We had ice.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, just terrible.
Well, come to Florida. That will never happen. Okay.
Yeah, no, we did not have ice, but I was on the road. I went to Palm Springs, California, to do an appraisal, just a quick.
So for the day.
For the day, basically, overnight. It was in the desert, and then we went up to Daytona Beach. So it was at the desert on Wednesday, the beach on Saturday, to look at another collection and do an appraisal. And here we are.
Well, someone's got to do it.
Right. Exactly right. And it's fascinating because just looking at for the one in the desert, it was an estate and it was a second home. So they bought the house. It was already used furniture. So going through, the owner was, or the surviving spouse was just, had it, knew it, said, well, this can't be worth a tremendous amount and all that. And I said, well, no, but it's an exercise we have to go through for estate appraisals. And that was pretty easy, and got that done, and then up to the beach, and then here we are. So fascinating, just interesting things.
Just an interesting point on the Daytona Beach trip. we have a client that we're working with up there, and I don't know if you've ever been to Daytona Beach. Have you, Marshall?
Oh yeah. Not in the past, not since we started this damn radio station, but before that.
You know, I had totally forgotten that you were able to drive on the beach in Daytona.
Oh, yeah.
In certain areas. Huh. And our hotel was literally steps from the beach, and we look out and Tim says, oh, there's some Jeeps on the beach. I said, well, yeah, I forgot, you know, they actually used to do a racing on the beach. And I don't know, they might still do that, but it's not in the area where we were. But apparently the beach, they've never gotten rid of that, that, I don't know what you want to call it, that privilege. And they're still allowing, they actually have beach access for vehicles that you have. Just for vehicles, and it's kind of weird to see a car driving on a beach thinking you're going to get stuck in sand, but it's like concrete. I don't know. It's just like driving on a dirt road.
Yeah, it's a different consistency. It is, but when it gets wet, though, it's not fun to drive in.
Yeah, well, I thought it was kind of cool just to sit there and look and see people driving on the beach and running on the beach. I'd never really witnessed it before. So it was a fun escape for overnight. So we had a good time and we got some work done. So can't ask for more than that.
Well, you can see other people driving in sand in Jaisalmer, India, in Iraq.
Oh yeah, no.
Well, that sand is very loose, though. That sand is very loose.
this was good, but we also we're working with a couple of different collections and clients, but also looking at auction results. There was an auction that just took place out in Las Vegas, and they were selling just a variety of memorabilia as well as advertising items and slot machines and gambling machines, trade stimulators, those sort of things. But there was one thing that really jumped out at us. There was a Coke bottle prototype, and it's only one of two known to exist, and it ended up selling for $110,700 at this auction. And this was just a couple weeks ago, April 14th, at this, I think it was a 3-day sale. And it was one of those just rare, interesting items that, being a prototype, especially for Coca-Cola, and we've talked about these in the past, but this is like another one that has come up, and it was created in the early 1900s, 1915, and it was created by the Root Glass Company, which is was a glass company here in the United States, and they're calling it, the bottle is the missing link in the history of Coca-Cola. From the moment it arrived in our hands, we knew we could create a buzz. And this is the auction company. This is part of their PR. It's considered a highly important piece, not only by Coca-Cola collectors, but also advanced bottle collectors. And it is something, because it's a great crossover collectible, being both for bottle collectors and also Coca-Cola memorabilia. And the buyer wishes to remain anonymous, but I'm sure is a major collector of both, probably the bottle itself, but also Coca-Cola, because of just the Coca-Cola name and the Coca-Cola memorabilia that's out there. Fascinating. Just interesting. These items that pop up that are just, oh, interesting, kind of out there. So because of that, I started looking online at some of the, just going to eBay, where there again, some crazy things, and people will pay crazy money for things, and they put that on eBay, to see the 10 most expensive items that sold in 2018. They came out with this list just a month or so ago.
Any ideas? Do you have any ideas what might have sold?
This is on eBay.
On yep. eBay, most yeah. expensive items.
We've actually remember, talked just, about some of these.
I remember the one. There was one item that was really expensive, and then it turned out that it was a fake bid.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that must
be. Well, these are the real ones.
Well, all right. Well, let me take a guess. Does it include? I know at one time, and I'm not sure whether it was this year or last year or whenever, but actually, a lunch with Warren Buffett went for like $2 or $3 million.
That's correct. That's actually on the list. $2.6 million.
$2.6 million. Very good. And that was that ranked number three on the list.
Oh my God, number three. Then it's got to be either some sort of fancy car or boat or something that's
there. You go,
because it's eBay. It's not like it's art's going to be on eBay. It's correct. So I would say it's some sort of car or a boat.
You're correct. It was a giggy yacht. It sold for $168 million. That's million with an M.
On eBay. And I wonder how they shipped it.
Yeah.
Who paid for shipping? But the number two was a Gulfstream II, a jet, and that sold for $4.9 million. So it's interesting when I look at this. You see $168 million for this giggy yacht, and then it jumps down to $4 million, then $2 million. And that lunch with Warren Buffett, that was most likely a fundraiser, or you know, the money went to benefit something. But once you get down to like collectibles or things, well, actually, number five was a house with a war-proof bunker that sold for $2.1 million.
Where was that house located?
That it doesn't say.
Probably Washington, D.C.
Well, Marshall and I, you won't, I don't know, you probably won't remember this, Tim, because by the time that these were done, I think you might have just been born. Do you remember bomb shelters?
Oh gosh, yeah, absolutely.
And this kind of reminds me of that, where we used to, right, in school, they used to have drills where you got
under your desks, like if it was a nuclear bomb, that's really going to help.
Yeah.
So you'll be incinerated with the wood. it's funny when you mentioned the bomb shelters. We had a huge plot of land. I mean, we owned 600 acres. Elm Valley Farm, my grandmother's original farm. And at one point, there was a talk about that, and my father just said, listen, do you want to really live in a metal tube for God knows how long? Wouldn't you just rather not be around? He actually won out. In one of his sober moments, he actually won out. We didn't proceed with a bomb shelter.
You know, that was an amazing time, because, you know, now actually on eBay, I have actually seen them sell. There was somebody who had a kit, the old kit that you could buy. Oh,
to put together.
I don't remember. Yeah, you could actually build a bomb shelter in your backyard underground. So,
wow.
But I think the most shocking thing on this list was that there were really only, of the top 10 items, only three, or actually two, were collectible items. One of them was the Honus Wagner baseball card for $1.1 million, and the other one was shoeless Joe Jackson's baseball bat for $577,000. And, you know, we've talked about how collectibles have sold on eBay, and I find that in the top 10, eight of the top 10 were really kind of bizarre. The most bizarre is number 10, and there was a guy by the name of Ian Usher, and he sold his life on eBay for $309,000.
What? Well, quotes around life, it was his house, his clothes, his friend, you know, well, you know, access to his friends. He's a travel, isn't he a travel writer or journalist? He had done semi-famous, written some books and things. And so he sold all of his possessions and everything, his home, access to friends and business partners and things like that, and took the money and just basically went off and did all kinds of different things and lived. Well, you know, he did.
The sad thing is, he sold it, but the person who was the high bidder never paid for it.
eBay. That sounds like eBay to me.
That's the problem.
It's interesting. You know, you're reading off these things, and I guess I was wrong. I thought, but I guess high-class cars are not going to be there because you have so many Barrett Jackson, you have so many others that people aren't going to.
You do.
People aren't going to put.
Well, you know, really, there was really, one car.
There was
a Ferrari that sold for $1 million, but again, and this is the caveat at the end, is, you know, there were some other kind of kitschy things where somebody paid $14,000 for a piece of chewing gum that Britney spit out after a concert or something, and, you know, some crazy things. But all of these numbers, and this all comes with the caveat, and this is at the end, is that we believe that, I mean, the bidding went up that high. We hope that they came through. Now, I know the Gigi yacht, that did come through. In reading that, there was some sultan or something wanted to purchase this, had the money and bought it. So that did come through. But on a lot of the other ones, it's, you have to take this information and say, okay, well, somebody was interested, but really, were they going to pay for it? Did they pay for it? And if they didn't, well, there was an underbidder, you know, so there's an argument to be made about what people will pay for and what it's worth. But at the end of the day, the big question is, did they actually pay for it? And that's part of what we are faced with as appraisers, and is knowing, is going more in depth and reading more. And I think, Greg, you Googled Ian Usher's life, right? Because there was probably a story.
Yes.
And
there is a story. Actually, yeah. Disney bought the rights to make a movie. They're still waiting for it. That's how he ended up. He put everything he kept, even though he was disappointed that his life didn't actually sell. It didn't get any money. He just continued, and he just sold all of the individual items, and used the money for traveling and trying to get. He had this thing where he did 100 in 100 days. 100 items, off of his bucket list. And he got to 96, I think. 96
was it 100
or 97.
Days or 100 weeks? It was 100 weeks, excuse me. 100 weeks.
100 weeks. And he, I think he got up to 96 or 97. And the article says, and he wasn't able to complete that, so he failed again. It's like, come on, give the guy a break. Come on.
So now, beginning on July 1st, I enter my 50th year of broadcasting. So we can put my life up for sale.
You know what we need to do? No, you put your voice in a jar sell that. Is that? I'm serious. There was somebody who sold a ghost in a jar on eBay, and it brought, what did it bring? Oh, I was reading this, like some of the crazy things that people put up. They put, like they said, this, there was a ghost in a jar, and somebody else put they sold their body as an advertisement.
It was art. They sold space on their body to put advertising. Yes.
Kind of like NASCAR.
There you go.
Like NASCAR racing.
pretty much. But oh my gosh, you could speak into a jar, seal it up, and we can sell it on eBay.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Oh, well. Well, I'll take it all under consideration.
Think of that.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
We want to leave you with a laugh.
All right. Have a great week.
Hey, take care.
Take care, guys. Tim, Luke, and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the freaking frack of Nick and Knack, TQAG.com on the web with appraise this.